This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So, no poem this week. All I have to say is, if Manchester United win their game in hand, they will be joint top of the league with Liverpool. Welcome to Triple Captain.
It's an optimistic lad, is our Luke.
Yay! United, United, United. The one tiny bit of gloss to the dross that we've seen from the latest round of fixtures of football. Not all the football was dross, to be fair, but it's not been very nice, has it? Hello, everybody. We are Triple Captain. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. We're an FPL podcast. We hope you've all had a wonderful Christmas. We missed a game week just because of the very quick turnaround. So we're here recording now. Rich is with me, as always. He's in... where are you, Rich? Manchester?
I'm in Manchester, live, yes. Not... I say live. I've just come off the radio. That's why I'm saying it. I'm in the studio in work. So I'm just used to saying live. Sorry. Not live, because this is a podcast, obviously. Kind of gutted about this game week, I'm not going to lie. As a man who has Tottenham players, has Everton players, it's been kind of disappointing. And I was meant to work the Everton game as well. Obviously, it got cancelled just a few hours beforehand. And I had everybody messaging me saying, it's not going to go ahead. And then, obviously, an outbreak of COVID in the Manchester City squad means that Everton v Man City didn't happen the other night, which was a big shame, mostly because I thought Everton could have had Man City that night as well, because we've been playing some decent football. But it is what it is, shall we say. I suppose player health has got to take priority over everything, especially FPL.
Yes, of course it has, definitely. We'll get to it. Let's talk through our game week so far. Well, not so far. What have points... I can't even speak. What have we got points-wise? Where are we... overall, and then what should we talk about? Obviously, we'll talk about Corona, how that's impacting things. You know, should we do anything with our teams, or should we sit tight? You know, I think we should discuss that. Anything else you want to talk about, boys? What should we talk about? Leeds assets, maybe, after their 5-0 thumping?
Absolutely, should do that, because I mean, everything was just like a 0-0, a 1-1, or a 1-0, other than the Leeds game, wasn't it? So talk about them a little bit. We haven't really talked much about Leeds compared to other teams anyway this season. So yeah, let's have a little chat about Leeds.
Great. Sounds good. And yeah, anything else that springs to mind, we will talk about it with you.
Yeah, it's the end of the year. It's been a long old year. We're sort of winging this episode.
It certainly has. And I think ultimately, you know, the tears changed again today. And I don't know about you two, but I just immediately get just this like kind of weighty, depressed feeling the minute something changes to bring in tighter restrictions, and then obviously the postponements and rumours of benching and all this stuff with football as well as everything else going on. It'd be nice to just have a laugh with you two and hopefully cheer some of the listeners up as well, because I bet there's a few out there with low scores this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully our miserable performances, well, my miserable performance for one, can cheer up a few of our listeners, because I've had a bit of a shocker, to be honest. I mean, obviously it wasn't helped with the fixtures that didn't get played and whatever. So, like I said, immediately... Harry Kane, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, which is like, what, nearly £20 million worth of my squad, just didn't play. So I'm basically playing with a squad value of like £82 million or something this game week, which is just an absolute nightmare. Thankfully, one of the lads in my team came off the bench to save me this week. That's Rafinha. Came in, got me a nice big 8 points, dropped into the bench this week. Immediately regretted it when I seen he scored, so... kind of got away with it that he's come off the bench. Bissouma also comes in. He scored, I think, 2 every game week since match day 1. So he's got me 2 points there. And then elsewhere, it's rather poor reading, to be honest. Robertson got his 6 for his clean sheet. Fernandez got 6 for his assist and clean sheet.
Robbo's on 9, Rich. He's got 3
oh,
bonus.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's on
9. Oh, has he?
Yeah. Sound. Yeah, they won't have updated it yet on the app. So add 3 to your total.
Oh, okay. Oh, so that's not too bad then. It's still my worst game week, I think, though, unfortunately. Oh, no, it's better than last week by just 1, for God's sake. 2 awful game weeks on the bounce here. But yeah, we were recording this straight after the Liverpool draw with Newcastle, so the Premier League app hasn't updated yet. Salah, for me, is currently on 6 with the captain's armband. Does that finish that way for him? Yeah. So, yeah, I brought in Salah for KDB, which, thank God, I did do that, because that's a few extra points in the bag there. And yeah, final score for me then was 42. So Tough old game week, unfortunately. But I think there's going to be a lot of people who've done a lot worse than me. How have you two got on?
Yeah, I think that'll be a small red. I mean, somehow I'm on a green arrow. I don't really know how. Yeah, I got 50. Whoa. I got 53. And the thing is, it just like, I think like, I should be like really pleased about that. But ultimately I'm not, because I feel for the people that have really suffered from, you know, the postponements and people being benched and all that. I just think it's a hollow, like, kind of victory, really. I don't feel like any skill is involved this week. Mm. Like, yes, I've picked Robertson, who got his 9 points. You know, I had a few good returns from players, actually. If Salah hadn't blanked, I would have got over that 60-point mark, which would have been nice. And it sounded like he should have scored two or three goals. Did you watch it all, Ben, that game?
Most of it. Yeah, it was just dull as dishwater, to be perfectly honest. What a limp end to 2020. It's probably fitting. But yeah, I mean, just an inept Trent Alexander-Arnold. Just doesn't look like the player he was last season at all. Like, he had a great chance in the first half that old Trent would have absolutely nailed into the top left corner. And it just limply rolls to the keeper. And it's just, I mean, I have to say, the Newcastle keeper, he had a good game. There's a couple of great saves in there. But yeah, just no bite at all. No bite.
I didn't watch the game, but I was just kind of like following it on Twitter and on like a text feed sort of thing. But it just sounds like Liverpool don't have that intensity that they had last year or the year before. And it's probably this fixture congestion that Klopp keeps complaining about. And, you know, it's got a point when his side play was such high tenacity and high energy. Like, it's going to catch up on them, especially around this festive period. To be fair, Liverpool, probably in the back of their minds, probably would have wanted tonight's game called off for COVID, just so they could have a bit of a rest period. Because I know Everton have been playing a lot of games, and there's quite a few Everton fans who are like, to be honest, having a day off will probably benefit us in the long run, you know, unless they all got COVID. But yeah, it's a bit of a shitty end to a shitty year. So who knows? 2021 could be the year for FPL.
It needs to be my year. It needs to be. I've taken one for the team every single week, it feels like, so far. Like, Rich, when you're saying you've had a bad game week on 47 points, I look at mine.
You had three City assets, was it?
Two City assets. Son and Kane. Captain's armband was on Kane. I thought it was going to smash Fulham. Not only that, I've also... Who else did I have that didn't play? So I've got Son... Oh, Calvert-Lewin. I've got up front. Yeah. And not only that, but because of rotation, Koufal didn't play for West Ham.
Oh, didn't he?
No.
Oh.
Vardy came on for, what was it, 24 minutes. Look around the team and you go, you know, there's hardly any minutes in my team at all this week.
Who was your vice-captain?
Salah.
Salah. Yeah. Oh, so thank God you got a few points off of him. So what did you finish on for the game week then?
I'm not going to be allowed to come on this podcast next week, am I? 22 points. 22.
It's not your fault.
It's pure. This week I've only got Son out of postponements. I've got no Everton. I've got no City. I've got no Fulham. Funnily enough, and I've only got Son. So I've got lucky there. Pretty much all of my players played apart from Son, and he came off for Suchek, who got 3 points. So he's added to my total. It's pure luck, you know. I mean, what can you do about that? That's not me thinking ahead and going, oh, better not have any City or Everton players. And I brought Son in for KDB, and obviously that's worked out like nothing, because KDB's got zero as well. So the same thing would have happened. So yeah, I mean, I've just had good returns from my team. Five from Chilwell, 9 from Robertson, 9 from McCarthy, which is great considering how well Martinez has been doing recently. Really glad that McCarthy's come up trumps. And then Bamford got his Bamford got 2 assists for an 8-pointer, and Fernandez got his assist in the very last minute of the game with a clean sheet. And who's my other midfielder? Oh, Grealish, who didn't return. And yeah, the Chris Wood experiment. We haven't actually talked about this since I've brought him in, but the Wood experiment is failing miserably at the moment. I mean, he should have scored last night. He had a great header, but yeah.
The Chris Wood experiment is a new progressive rock band that I've been playing on the radio recently.
The Chris Wood experiment. Yeah, it's not working out. I'm thinking of maybe just getting rid of him and bringing in Antonio for West Ham's double game week if he's
fit.
Might
back.
Be a better option, mightn't it? But yeah. I don't know if I can risk him. It's whether he's going to play both game weeks. But then I think Chris Wood's probably only going to get 4 points. So it's a shame because I thought in his next... I mean, he's got Fulham next, so he gets one more chance for me. But he's just... You got to expect him to score against Sheffield United and who were the team Burnley played the week before?
Can't remember.
But yeah, because we've obviously missed a game week, haven't we? I think we all had bad game weeks, didn't we? The one before this.
Yes.
I think me and you got a small red, didn't we, Rich? And I think I only got about 43 points. It was, again, a horrible game week. But the scores have been low all around, haven't they? So when the average is low and you're low, it tends to be a small red. So yeah, at the moment, I'm back up to 28K. I think I was 23K,
really
down to 36. I was down to 36K and now I'm back up to 28K. Somehow,
brilliant.
I don't know. But again, it feels completely hollow, though. It really does. I just think
still
it's luck this week. Yeah, I'm really pleased, but, you know.
I mean, in what could have been an awful week, Man United won in the last minute because of a deflected goal. And you've got a green arrow.
I can't complain.
And hardly had any players drop out. That's been a great weekend for you.
Yeah,
I've been smiling after that.
It has. I mean, exactly. And I really don't mind a Salah blank if Liverpool are drawing 0-0. And that means that United are within 3 points and a game in hand from top spot in the Premier League. Albeit, it wouldn't be on goal difference, but... I can't. I mean, that's bizarre, isn't it? Who'd have thought that?
So strange. It's because I brought him in, obviously, that was going to happen. My main concern this game week is that this is the game week where you qualify for the cup.
Yeah,
and
I'm glad. I want to concentrate on the league, boys. You know what I mean? Concentrate on the league.
Yeah. They're giving up on silverware already.
None of this FBL Cup
nonsense.
Focus on
staying up.
Yeah, whatever.
So you have to be in the top 4,194,304.
Bloody hell, it means I bloody qualified. Didn't even want to.
No,
For the game week ranks.
I don't think you will have done
it. No, that's fine.
I think you need 33 points to qualify, according to live FPL, yeah.
So
I think you and I will be in there, yeah. Not that the cup matters at all.
No. Hey, hang on.
How do you approach the cup? I mean, how do you approach that? You just got to get high scores every week.
Mate, do you not fancy the FPL mug? The Premier League goodie bag.
Why is that? We could give out better prizes than that. If people won our league, we could give out a better prize than the actual cup.
Don't commit us, Rich. Don't commit us.
Do you remember this last season that I got really far in the cup with my with my zombie team? And I lost on a coin flip because when coronavirus was happening and the lockdown was they were doing a flip of a coin each round of the cup and I lost on a coin flip. Everyone should just be on a grey arrow this week. No one should be moving up or down.
Agreed.
The week should just be voided off.
With that many teams not playing, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Yeah, particularly when they're big teams. Anyway.
Speaking of which, what's your opinion on the circuit breaker idea that's been going around Twitter?
Oh, Big Sam's idea.
The Premier League circuit breaker for 2 weeks.
Big Sam's circuit breaker, that's another great progressive rock band. I could play. There's loads of them.
I think we should get as many in as possible during this episode. Yeah.
Big Sam's circuit breaker. What was the first one?
The Chris Wood experiment.
Yeah, that's it. I don't know. I mean, football's kind of the only thing that is keeping me sane during lockdown, to be honest. That was the only kind of distraction when it first came back where life wasn't horrible because you could sit in and watch every single game. So I'd be gutted if it ended, but I think this is more Big Sam trying to have a little bit more time with West Brom and, you know, try and figure things out to keep him in the Premier League because obviously it's what he's been brought in to do. And I can't see any more than that. I mean, I haven't heard anything from Jurgen Klopp saying stop the football or Pep Guardiola saying stop the football. It's all been about Big Sam, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I think all of the managers speak with their own teams in mind, don't they? Funnily enough, Big Sam's just lost 5-0 to Leeds and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's just beat Wolves in the 93rd minute to go close to the top of the league. And Ole says, we shouldn't have a circuit breaker. When are we going to play the games? He obviously wants to keep momentum. Big Sam would appreciate the break. Yeah, 2 weeks off with the players because they're still going to have to train, aren't they? I mean, it kind of seems silly. I mean... It's still a small amount, isn't there? I know 18 is the highest number of people that have tested positive within the Premier League testing, but it's only two more than back in November when there were 16 positive tests and there wasn't really any kind of fuss made about that. And obviously because of the numbers in England and stuff like that, they're obviously thinking maybe we need a pause in the season. But I think they just should just keep going. They're obviously fairly safe as long as the players are sensible and stay in their bubbles and what have you. It's obvious that the virus doesn't pass very easily outdoors when they're playing against each other. Otherwise, they'd all have it by now, wouldn't they? So,
yeah, exactly.
I don't think it will happen. Apparently, there hasn't been a discussion to have a two-week break. So,
I think it's being pushed more by the EFL, not necessarily the Premier League, because you've obviously got 72 teams in the Football League. And what they're saying is that you've got all these lads and obviously, you know, the team behind the team, you know, going in and out of tier four areas or whatever. And, you know, I think it's them who are kind of going, look, we need to look at this more seriously. Mm. But I don't know. It has been a bit of a, like you said, Rich, having it there just adds that kind of bit of normality to life, doesn't it? Where you can, for 90 minutes, forget about it and just think, oh my God, why the hell isn't Mo Salah finishing that?
And watch an absolutely brilliant 0-0 between Newcastle and Liverpool. Be thrilled. Yeah.
Should we just stick the captain's armband on Bruno Fernandes now and not take it off him? I mean, he never blanks, does he?
You know, interesting thing about him since when he joined Man United, where I don't think he's got, like, apart from when I've had him in my team, he's had a couple of weeks where he's had less than 6 points. The rest of the time, it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, upwards
Phenomenal.
And upwards every
Phenomenal.
Single week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, it used to be like Kevin De Bruyne last season for a long time, didn't it? But without Aguero, I can't remember who was saying it. It was on TalkSport, I think I've seen it. I think it was on TalkSport. And they were saying that Fernandes now is definitely the best midfielder in the Premier League because he does it all on his own. He doesn't need anybody else around him. De Bruyne needs Aguero or Jesus or a person to finish off all the chances he makes, whereas Fernandes can just do it all. He can cross it in. He can take free kicks, take penalties, score headers, long-range shots. He can pretty much do everything. Do you remember when Liverpool nearly won the league and Suarez pretty much single-handedly almost took them to the league? I feel like Fernandes could do that for Manchester United this season.
Mm. Yeah, he nearly scored again last night as well from Greenwood's cross, and he really should have put it away. And that again would have been another goal for him. And he seems to get bonus, doesn't he? A lot of the time when he didn't last night, of course, but he seems to get bonus a lot of the time when he returns as well because of the big chances that he creates. And he's getting himself into the box, and he's on penalties, he's on free kicks, he's on some corners. It's just he's just all action, like starting to think that maybe he's even a better FPL asset than Salah. He perhaps is right now, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, he is right now. He has been since he joined United. So for a year, he's been the best returner of goals and assists in the Premier League. I'm pretty sure that still stands. I don't know if maybe it doesn't after Salah's two goals against Palace. I'm not sure. But it's he's just, maybe we should just keep captaining him now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, that could be the shout. I mean, it's Villa for their first game of 2021 in the 2020-2021 season. So, well, I don't know, it's used to head-to-head. Villa have looked good defensively. Can Fernandes dig through that Villa back line?
I think it'll be a tough game. What do you think, Ben?
I was delighted with the point against Chelsea. I think that it was El Ghazi just continues.
Yeah, what about El Ghazi?
Yeah,
should we get
fantastic.
Him in?
Fantastic. You know what? He's really proving his place because obviously Ross Barkley's still out and he couldn't play again. Mm. I think he's back training with them and he's, you know, looking at all the kind of behind the scenes stuff of him training and all that. He's there and he's in the action. He's obviously ready to come back. He couldn't play against Chelsea because it's his parent club and he's on loan. Although it looks like he wants to sign a permanent contract with the Villa, which would be great.
Hey.
But I have to say, you know, when we got Tyrone Mings sent off a couple of weeks back, not a couple of game weeks back, El Ghazi stayed on the pitch and they bought Bertrand Traore off. Even though Traore had got the goal in the first half and he looked great, they opted to leave El Ghazi on the pitch. He trusts El Ghazi. He's the guy who got us into the Premier League in the first place. He works so hard. He runs back as much as he runs forward. He's just an absolute workhorse. And I think he could keep his position in that team. Because I'm not sure what's going on with Trezeguet. But I don't know. I think Anwar's really... El Ghazi's looking really good. And like Dean says, Luke, I think you retweeted it from the Triple Captain account the other day. You know, when a player's in form, let him play. That's what Dean Smith thinks. Let him play.
That's it. And that's the thing. Trezeguet, he was having chances and missing them, wasn't he, when he was playing?
He was.
Whereas El Ghazi's taken them. So yeah. If he continues his form, Trezeguet's not getting back into that 11.
I think El Ghazi could stay there now. I think he's proven himself. You know, he was getting a lot of stick from Villa fans as well. And actually, he's come on and he's just... I think he's got strength of character, El Ghazi, that I think we'll see him through the rest of the season. But I feel good about Villa because, Luke, you said at the beginning, Man United are... What, if they win their game in hand, they're on the same points as Liverpool.
Yeah.
Villa have got two games in hand, and if we win both of them, we're just 1 point behind. So, you know, we're fifth in the Premier League. Fifth, which is... And we've done a good job against the big boys as well.
Because you were expected to struggle this season, wasn't it? Because Barkley was like a late signing as well. Like,
yes.
It didn't look like you were going to have anything creative other than Grealish once more, but...
We had a great start, and then had a few dodgy... Well, not dodgy games. You had a few unlucky games in the middle. I think Villa assets are still really worth looking at. Really worth looking at.
So, here's a question for you both in terms of a lot of people own Grealish and a lot of people will probably be thinking about getting off Grealish. This is obviously presuming everything still goes ahead as planned and there's the double game week 19, which currently Villa only have a single fixture in game week 19 and obviously other teams don't. Would you be getting rid of Grealish now before the Man United game or would you be tempted to hold him for the United game? I mean, for me, I'm thinking of bringing in a Leeds midfielder for that double game week. I've already got Bamford and I'm thinking either Harrison or Rafinha to come in. Leeds have got Spurs away next. Villa have got United. Would you keep Grealish for United or would you bring in that Leeds midfielder for the Spurs game?
It's tough, isn't it?
Brings us on nicely to talk about Leeds, really, after that 5-0 thrashing of West Brom. Should we be tripling up on Leeds?
I mean, the thing about Leeds is it's just spread through the whole team, isn't it? So just to go to your first question about Grealish, it kind of feels like teams recently have been putting all their priority on nullifying Grealish, which is why El Ghazi and Watkins, just to name another one, have come through with some goals recently. Whether Solskjaer will do that as well for Manchester United is yet to be seen, but I think, you know, you could probably reinvest that $7.5 million or whatever Grealish is now into another Leeds player or into another Villa asset. I really like the look of Watkins and he could very happily sit in my front three and not be moved for several weeks.
Watkins is about to go on a run. You know, he's so close. And again, he's working really hard. Like, he's had so many where it's like, did you see his very final touch the other day where it was a perfect ball through from Grealish, like a really clever ball from outside the box. And it just hit the inside of the post and bounced back out again for Watkins. And it is how this guy is desperate for a goal. So it's going to happen soon. I'd say for Grealish against Man United, look at Villa. So 7-2 against Liverpool. We beat Leicester 1-0. I'm not sure you can class Arsenal as a big team anymore, but we beat them 3-0. We beat Wolves 1-0. You know, we're quite good against these big teams. And the good thing about Grealish is that he loves a game where he can show off and he can really get stuck in. And I think that whole faff around, is he going to United last summer? I think he'll want to go. Because is it at Old Trafford or is it at Villa Park?
It's at Old Trafford.
Yeah, I think he'll want to go and I think he'll want to show off.
Didn't he score a weldy against Man United last season as well? Yeah. Bent one into the far corner.
He's just not looking as likely to get FPL points anymore for me. I mean, he's blanked a couple of games in a row again, hasn't he? He got those two assists late on against Crystal Palace, very late on. And yeah, the goal threat seems to be coming from elsewhere, doesn't it? From El Ghazi, from Watkins, perhaps, from Traore. He's not having as many shots on goal. He doesn't really burst into the box. He's not really on set pieces either. So I'm just wondering, if that $7.5 million could go down to, say, a Jack Harrison or a Rafinha of Leeds. I mean, and look at Leeds. I mean, you just know, no matter who they play, they are going to be getting forward and trying to score. I mean, their shots per game and the amount of chances that they're having each game, no matter who they're playing against, you know, they managed to get two goals against United. They looked like they were going to score every time they got forward. So in terms of FPL, that's gold, isn't it? Can you rely on Villa to do that week in, week out? I don't think you can.
No, not really. I mean, I do like Villa are playing like very attacking, flowing football, which is great. But I just think because Leeds just... I mean, we saw in that Man United game, didn't we? They just threw caution to the wind and just went for it. We attack, you attack, we attack, you attack. That's what it was like.
Be interesting to see what Mourinho does, doesn't it? I mean, I'm thinking of captaining Son against Leeds because it's the perfect game for Spurs in its counter-attack.
Oh, yeah. It is. Son needs to come in for that game. I mean, the thing is, though, you know that Mourinho's going to sit back regardless. They play Marine, the lowest team, the most separated teams in the history of the FA Cup. Mourinho's going to try and play on the counter-attack. He's just going to do that. It's his style. It's what he's going to do. But speaking of Leeds, we all remember last season how Lord Lundstrom was down as a defender on FPL and was playing midfield. Well, because of the injuries for Leeds, Stuart Dallas has been playing central midfield for Leeds, and he's only down as 4.8 million as a defender on FPL, and he's the highest scoring defender because over the last few weeks he's been playing in midfield. So I think if you were to get anybody in from Leeds, it would be Dallas, just because there's a potential attacking return.
Yeah, he looks great, doesn't he? And he's one of those players. And even when he wasn't playing centre mid, he was getting forward. He has quite a few shots, and he's always looking to either create or score goals. Yeah, it looks like a bit of a no-brainer now, doesn't it, to get someone like Dallas in? I mean, I'm thinking my kind of dilemma for the double game week is I was going to go for Alexander-Arnold and Robertson. I've already got Robertson. But the more I watch players like Dallas, I think, is it worth spending 7.2 million on Alexander-Arnold when it seems like Stuart Dallas is capable of that every game? I mean, albeit Leeds don't have the clean sheet potential Liverpool have, I don't think you know, Liverpool are a bit more dodgy at the back, I still think they've got a lot more clean sheet potential than Leeds. But when you've got those attacking returns as well, Dallas looks like a perfect option, doesn't he? And they've got pretty good fixtures for that double game week as well, haven't they? I think they've got Brighton and Southampton.
Two home games.
Which isn't bad. So maybe it'll be better. I'm kind of thinking, like, in terms of my team, I'm going to have loads of money left over in the bank at this rate, because all the players I'm looking at to bring in are downgrades of the players I've already got. So I'm looking to bring in, say, a Rafinha or Harrison for Grealish, which saves 2 million. I've already brought in Son for KDB, which is another 2 million saving. It's then like, well, I've got loads of money, but obviously you don't have to always spend the money in the bank, do you?
No, you don't have to, not at all. But you know what? Triple Leeds. I haven't tripled up once yet, I don't think, this season.
Neither have I.
And I think Leeds could probably be the first. Or maybe I did triple Southampton at one point with McCarthy, Kyle Walker-Peters and Danny Ings, but wasn't really an attractive Southampton triple up. Whereas three of Dallas, Rafinha and Bamford. That is a tasty spine of your team there. Or you could bring in Harrison instead as well. Because Leeds' goals just come from all over the team. I mean, we even saw in that 5-0, I mean, Bamford didn't score, did he?
No, he got two assists.
Yeah, didn't get a goal in a 5-0 win, and he's their top scorer this season. So, like, their goals are coming from everywhere. I mean, you could, if he was fit, you could even put in an argument for Click if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's so many options, but triple Leeds, absolutely don't turn your nose up at that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it's looking a bit good. And we're not only just saying that after the 5-0, obviously after a 5-0 win where there's so many goal scorers, you think it's perhaps a bit knee-jerky to go, right, we need to get Leeds in. But we've seen it week in, week out from them, haven't we? Even when they have only won 1-0, like when they only beat Burnley 1-0.
Yeah, but like in the game against Man United...
Yeah, you're still seeing it. Yeah, you're still seeing it. Even if they only score the one or two goals, you're still seeing that attack.
But then the week before that loss against Man United, they beat Newcastle 5-2.
Yeah.
The goals come.
The goals are there. Yeah.
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 I think we said at the start of the month they were due a thumping victory, and here it is.
So who would your three be? Obviously, we're talking Dallas. Definitely keep Bamford, yeah?
I think so, because everything seems to go through him and he's like the only striker. They seem to be playing Rodrigo.
Rich, changed your tune so much. He's just got no quality. He's just got no quality at all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I don't understand it, because I'm literally tearing my hair out. He doesn't have any quality, but he scores goals. I don't know what it is. It's a strange one. So yeah, everything comes through Bamford, because they haven't got any other striker options, because Rodrigo seems to be an... like a midfielder for them now.
Hmm. What about Alioski? Alioski's a good option as well, and he scored a couple of goals. But you think Dallas is probably better, isn't he?
Dallas is better. Alioski's a midfielder who's playing at left back.
He's a defender on the game, yeah.
He's a defender on the game, yeah, but in real life, he's a midfielder who's playing at left back, so I don't feel like he's playing at his, you know, utmost best. But I suppose 4.5 million, it's not too bad. I know Ayling's usually a right back. He's playing centre back at the moment.
Meslier could be an option as well, keeper.
Meslier, yeah. Even Strike at 3.9 million. He's like a defensive mid, but they've got him down as a defender on this. So he could be an option if you're looking to make a safe, cheap midfield option.
Well, he's played the last two games, he's played 90 minutes. Whereas before that, he hasn't played for, like, he didn't play for a good few weeks.
No, he's definitely been out of favour, but he's been the player who is probably the most defensive-minded at Leeds, other than Cooper, who's now injured. So Strike is now probably the most defensively-minded player. So I'll probably avoid him just because there's so many other great cheap options at Leeds. But if I have to do three, Bamford, Rafinha and Harrison is a toss-up in the middle, but I've got Rafinha already, so I'll keep him, and then Dallas.
Do you think, is Meslier an option? Just in terms of nice, cheap keeper, or are they not going to keep? Because they have kept some clean sheets, but...
Yeah. I think he gets a lot of save points as well, because they're under the cosh. He makes quite a lot of saves, so...
68 points so far.
I think he's
two
just...
clean sheets on the bounce.
I think he's just as good as any of the other 4.5 options, to be fair. Because you're not many teams are keeping clean sheets this season, are they? It's not like there's one that's like consistent, apart from City. And you're probably not going to spend 6 million on Edison. So, no. Meslier could be a great option as well, especially as they've got that tasty double game week.
And they've got, around that, they've got some really nice fixtures. Leeds now, it's the kind of back end of the season where they have their really tricky games. They've got, this is from game week 31 onwards, they've got Man City, Liverpool, Man United, Spurs, all packed into those last few weeks. It's actually, they've got quite a decent... God, I hate to say it, but they could build up quite a good head of steam, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, imagine Leeds finish top half. That would be a great first season in Premier League for them. Don't worry, they'll get caught out in the second season, Ben. They'll go down, don't worry. Yeah. They'll do a Sheffield United
good.
Who, Jesus.
The thing is as well, you know they're not... Yes, they could put a good run together, but you know in a game like against Spurs, I mean, I might eat my words for saying this, but... You'd imagine Spurs will do them three or four. I mean, the way that they come forward, and look at the way United played against them. It was the perfect game for United, and it's a perfect game for Mourinho and his counter-attacking style, isn't it? Although, knowing Spurs, what they'll do is go 1-0 up, sit back, soak, and then Leeds will probably score. I mean, it's just, oh God, it honestly... boils me the way that Spurs play football and the way that Wolves play football as well. I feel for you, Wolves and Spurs fans, because my God, your team plays boring football. The way that Wolves played against United, it's just like, oh God, this low block. And they just don't score enough goals, do they? And it's the same with Spurs.
I think the Wolves issue is, obviously they lost Jimenez, who's like the icon of the team and everything revolves around him, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, no, of course. I'm slightly tongue-in-cheek with Wolves. I do like Wolves as a team, but just the way they played. Sorry, go on, mate.
I think it's like the inexperience. Obviously, Traore was like the man for them last season, but now he seems to have kind of just simmered down and lost it a little bit. And then Neto and Podence, like, they're okay, but they're both young lads. I think they're only like 21 at the oldest or something like that. So they're not that experienced. And I think they just haven't been able to replace the quality of Jota as well. So it's going to be a difficult season for Wolves, but they might go on a decent run of form. And if Jimenez comes back before the season's out, I'm sure he'll end up getting double figures, something like that, because he's just that kind of player.
And they were unlucky to lose last night. United didn't play particularly well either. But it's just, I just think that this is why I'm just so much happier with Ole in charge, because United are just so much better to watch. They're so much more interesting to watch. They're trying to score goals. They're getting forward. It's mostly exciting games. That's what you want to see from your team, isn't it? That's why Everton have been great to watch this season as well, because they get forward and try and score goals. Same with Villa, you know. There's a few teams led by Mourinho leading from the front, you know, just want to defend. It's boring.
Yeah. I mean, but if you win a title at the end of it...
I hope you boys have got your club calendars, by the way, your desk calendars sorted. That's one of my Christmas presents. The Aston Villa official desk calendar 2021.
Who's January?
January, it's the 1983 team. So year after we won the European Cup.
What? Usually you have players for every month, surely?
They are celebrating their UEFA triumph over Barcelona.
So, I remember a few years ago, I think it was 2014, maybe, something like that. I got an Everton Christmas calendar, an Everton calendar for Christmas. And the player who was the face of January, you think, oh, who's it going to be? It could be like Lukaku or Barkley or like Stones or something like that. It was Jan Mucha, our second choice goalkeeper. It was like the first month. And they've gone with Jan Mucha.
You're right, I'm looking through this. A fan has not put this together. April features Fabian Delph. We hate Fabian Delph.
The snake.
April's going to be a bad month.
They put
Wesley in July. Come on.
He'll be gone by then. That's the thing. You never want your best player in December just in case he's gone. Grealish isn't December, is he?
No, he's not. No. Grealish doesn't even feature by the looks of it.
Doesn't he? Jesus.
They'd have to pay him too much.
This is the official guest calendar that they managed. Someone, one of my family members managed to just, you know, stick to. They've got this from the back of some lorry, haven't they? This isn't the official.
I've got a photo for the Aston Villa calendar if they want one of Jack Grealish.
Yeah. I think the whole of Twitter's seen that photo now, haven't they?
Every WhatsApp chat has had the picture forwarded to them.
Have you seen it, Lee? Do you know what we're talking about?
No.
We will forward it.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know.
Yeah, he's in a robe, let's say.
Yes, I've seen it. Yes, and so is she.
Yeah, so is she.
Send it to me though. I think I've only seen like doctored versions of it.
Okay, we'll send it over. It's all right. You always carry on chatting about FPL and I'll find it from one of the stupid lads groups I'm in and forward it on to you now.
Well, just quickly, what should we be doing with our teams right now? With all the uncertainty, what's going to be the best strategy?
So who were the teams that had COVID? It was City and Fulham, wasn't it? It wasn't Tottenham.
Oh my god! I thought that was the doctored one. So that's the real photo.
I believe who took that? Some people
probably
are saying Ross Barkley.
What is going on?
It was City. It was Fulham. It was just the two, wasn't it? Yeah.
So you should probably avoid City and Fulham players because they'll still be in their outbreak.
So I just don't think I can double up on any players going forward now. It's too much of a hit to have so much money in Kane and Son for them to just go, right, sorry, 2 hours before, game's cancelled. Because even Spurs, aren't they? Because Jose Mourinho posted on his Instagram, you know, we've got a few hours to go. We still don't know what's happening. Like, it's not like there's no warning with this at all. Like, doubling up on expensive assets in particular, like, I just think you've got to have pick a player from every team, haven't you?
Well, you need a strong bench. First and foremost, you need a strong bench. I mean, I've got lucky this week, but I will have four playing bench players as soon as I possibly can.
You're going to get rid of Nealand?
Nealand's going.
Hey, a long last.
I'll either have Melier or Fabianski with McCarthy for that double game week because I want two keepers for that so we can have four fixtures. Nealand's going. I've got Souček and Soufal. Obviously, Soufal didn't play this week, but Souček has come on with 3 points, which has been really useful. And I've got Nico Williams there as well, but he will be going soon. Strong bench I think is really important, and just wait until the very last minute to make any transfers, I would say. This week it wouldn't have made a difference because we found out all the postponements and those kind of news after the deadline, so it wouldn't have mattered. But just wait as long as you can. Don't worry about 0.1 million to get someone in your team, because like you say, there's lots of moves you might make which backfire. So I think be as patient as possible, try and save transfers if you can. Wait it out, I guess. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a thought of maybe not going for more than one player from each team, but it's kind of a bit of a tricky way to play the game, isn't it? If there's two players from a team that you really, really want and they're returning good points, you know, eventually they're going to make those games up. Like Kane and Son will play that game in hand and they will have a double at some point. But The unfortunate thing is people will then have a chance to bring Kane and Son in. So it's not like you're gaining your advantage back from the disadvantage that you've had this week. But yeah, it's maybe worth thinking about, isn't it? Maybe not tripling up, even though we've just been saying triple up on Leeds.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we're going to probably bring in Bamford. Definitely going to bring in Bamford.
We just don't know, do we? That's the thing. Like, we can't really give a strategy because we don't know what's going to happen. I think just patience would be the only thing I'd say, really.
Yeah, I think we need to pack it all in, lads, to be honest. It's just too hard now, isn't it?
Yeah. I did feel like that earlier when they said that, when they said the Spurs game was off, and there was these rumours of Robbo being benched all over Twitter, like these in the no Liverpool accounts. So then you're thinking, oh, so literally I've got Salah left and that's it. It's not even the points thing. It's like, I want to watch football with the players that I've picked as well, because it makes it more fun and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, Robbo did play in the end, so it was fine. But yeah, it does just make it a little bit unfair, doesn't it, when all these things happen?
I mean, the game week before, I brought in Matip and he got assist randomly, because obviously we didn't do a post Boxing Day episode, did we? He went off injured with 35 seconds to go until he got his clean sheet points. Oh. I was absolutely devastated.
Can that be another band you play on Radio X? What? Matip's 59th minute.
Yeah, <come on>.
Yes.
I like it. And then there was another thing. Charlie Taylor went off injured for Burnley as well, so I had two players injured as well.
Of course he did.
And they got a clean sheet. Both teams got a clean sheet.
So what are we doing for game week 17? Who are we captaining? Nothing. Any transfers?
Probably captain. Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm captaining Kane against Leeds. I think Tottenham have had a week off.
Love that, Rich.
I think Leeds are going to be overconfident. I think Tottenham against Leeds. And I think that Mourinho, surely, because the classic thing that Mourinho would do in this game is sit back, right? But if Leeds have been scoring that many goals, he can't do that. That can't be his tactic, can it?
True. Oh, yeah, it kind of works. Kane's been looking for a goal as well, and he's not scored in a few weeks. So maybe Kane, yeah. I was going to say either Fernandes or Salah, but I don't know. It's just whatever, innit? I've got no idea.
That's how it feels.
I've got no idea. You
know, here's a good tip. Actually, I've seen there's one manager in the top 10K who captained Kane and vice captained Son.
Oh.
There's a little tip. Pick a captain and vice captain different teams.
A very 2020 tip right there.
Little COVID
definitely,
tip.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, I'm on. Yeah.
Wash your hands and change your captain.
I'm on Son at the moment, but it might change to Fernandes and it might change to Salah. I mean, Fernandes is the safest option right now, as we keep saying. He just keeps delivering. He's the postman. Yeah. Bruno Fernandes, the postman, just keeps delivering.
My only doubt with Fernandes.
We're losing it here, boys, aren't we?
Yeah, we absolutely are.
Well, we just were at home against Wolves and we were at home against Leeds.
True, but you just tend to be better away at the moment, don't you, this season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we're getting
there. That's my only doubt.
I mean,
anyway,
let's have a look.
Still a good choice.
Bruno Fernandes has blanked 5 times this season out of 15. He's returned 10 times. That is is very,
good.
Very
good. One of the best
good.
Players.
Very,
him and
very
Kane
good.
Up there, won't he?
Yeah. But yeah, Son, I'm on Son at the moment. And my decision will be whether to... I'd like to get Nieland out this game week, actually, because Alex McCarthy of Southampton has got Liverpool. Although, obviously, Liverpool haven't been scoring a lot of goals either, have they? I mean, maybe McCarthy could get a clean sheet there. You never know. Or save points for sure. But yeah. I might bring in Fabianski or Melier for their fixture this week. Might take Grealish out as well. But yeah, like you say, I haven't made any decisions yet because... Who knows?
I know. We just need time. And I'll probably make a decision. I mean, when's the deadline? I think it's 4 o'clock on New Year's Day, isn't it?
Yeah.
So my decision will almost definitely be a hungover or a drunken decision. So,
oh, no. Oh, no. Don't do a drunken transfer.
I've only got one, but I've got two injuries and I need to get rid of either Matip or Taylor. So I need to have a bit of a think about who to bring in. Maybe this is Dallas's time to shine. Maybe I'll, you know, stick to what I say and make a transfer.
Matip to Dallas looks like a good move.
Yeah, I think I might do that.
I think Jamie Vardy away at Newcastle. He's not been doing very well at home, but actually, Jamie Vardy's away record is really good this year.
Yeah. Although
I think he might be a... And Newcastle, you know, they held Liverpool, but it didn't look like a... It was just a game that was going to end 2020 today. I think Leicester might have a decent go against Newcastle. I might change to Jamie Vardy.
My only issue in that is, you know, Newcastle are going to defend. Because, like, Mourinho defends, Bruce defends, and Vardy needs space. And I think he'll struggle for space.
Here you go. He scored 19 goals in his last 19 away matches in the Premier League.
That is good.
Jamie Vardy.
That is very good.
Apart from when he came on for 15 minutes against... So 19 in 20, but we're not going to count against Crystal Palace.
No, it's another good option.
I'd stick with Kane personally if I had Kane, because as we've said about Leeds, they're going to be so exposed at the back. We know what they're like. Like, they're not going to change their game plan. It's the perfect game for Son and Kane to counter attack, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And look at what happened when they went to Old Trafford, but. I'm not saying Spurs will score 6 because that's just not really how Mourinho plays, apart from when they beat Man United 6-1. Okay, thank you very much. But I don't know. It's a tricky one, isn't it? But yeah, at the moment I'm on Son. It might change though. Fernandez seems safer at the moment to me.
Right, should we wrap this up then?
Yes, let's wrap it up. So I hope our advice was useful. It could be completely null and void in about 24 hours time.
What about Tammy Ollie Chili? As a band name.
Tammy Ollie Chili.
Tammy Ollie Chili. Ollie Chili. Yeah. Tammy Abraham, Ollie Giroux, Chili, Ben Chilwell.
Tammy, I mean, it's the worst one we've had on this episode. So, you know, we'll wrap it up there and then. Best of luck for game week 17, everybody. Fingers crossed.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight. A podcast about four blokes who partied hard through their 20s together and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good.
Done, mate.
We've all lost, progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.